Short disclaimer. This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldon. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted,
the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat.
Welcome to episode 119 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander. This episode of the Outlander podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. So announcements this week. I'm so excited to say announcements this week.
Hold on a second. Are you saying we actually have a real life announcement that we're not like having to massage a bit?
No, this is a legit announcement, people. Legit.
Oh my gosh.
And straight from Stars. We have a new cast member to be added to season 2 of Outlander. The role of Lord Lovett, Simon Fraser, who is Lord Lovett, also known as the Old Fox, was cast this week. The actor they have chosen to play him is Clive Russell. You have most recently seen him in Game of Thrones playing Brendan Blackfish Tully.
He's kind of, again,
an old fox.
He's kind of
like
a fox.
Is he like a silver fox?
I mean, it was black and white, but I'm assuming it's black and silver, so
okay.
Something like that. Okay. A little gray, maybe.
And I'm sure you all have been following this on Twitter, but our fearless leader, Diana Gabaldon, has boots on ground in Scotland and has been posting some lovely pictures and lots of very lengthy, luscious, and lovely Facebook posts about her time there. So I'm very excited to see what comes of that.
I'm just excited we had another announcement section. I can't believe
I'm so rusty. You're going to have to edit the crap out of this. I haven't done announcements in probably like a month. Thanks, Stars.
At least. So I took a little trip. That's great English. This is Ginger. I took a little trip last weekend.
And thanks for identifying yourself so no one thought that was
me. So no one thought that was you because you have enough of your own little interesting idiosyncrasies.
Okay, but I will say that we had at my work, we've recently decided we're an international company. I've discovered that I'm incapable of saying a specific country without accenting it.
Scotland?
Nope. South African. Can't do it. I can't say anything other than that. And this, I blame the fact that I used to have a South African coworker, but I literally can't say it any other way.
So I went on a little drive last week and drove from here, Northern California, to see some friends. Thank you, friends. In the SoCal land. And while I was there, I went to the Bear McCreary signing and we got a few little tiny things signed by him, which we may or may not. We will include in upcoming giveaways anyway. And that's a little bit of a drive, right? From around here to LA. I mean, it's at least depending
it's
on your
7.5.
Well, I won't tell you how long it took me then. Let's just say depending on your speed between 6 and 7 hours, something like that. I had many hours, many, many hours to fill with something. Now you could have the radio, which changes like every 5 minutes when you're in a new town, right? Or new area. Or like if you're on I-5 like I was, sometimes you ain't got nothing.
I mean, there's satellite radio.
I do have satellite radio, so that I could have done. But I didn't have enough choice channels that I was in love with that I wanted to keep with for so long. So I went by my old standby, an audiobook from audible.com. All this to say, I'm a huge fan. And I know Summer is too. And we've had memberships for quite a few years. And now you know that they are an Amazon company, I believe, right? Mm-hmm. And you sign in using your Amazon ID and all this.
So helpful.
Oh my gosh, it does. It makes things a lot easier since if you're an Amazon addict like Summer and I are, Amazon Prime. Look, we just found out that you can get like 1 hour shipping.
Dude.
To your house. I am afraid. So
I totally did it at work last week, by the way.
Did it work?
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It was so silly because we were like, what can we order? I was like, almonds and
oh my gosh.
Soup. I got
Wait,
like three
hold
cans
on.
Of soup.
Was it free shipping?
It's free.
Shut up.
2 hour delivery.
Okay. So we're getting a little bit off track.
We are, sorry.
Because it still kind of has to do with
they're together.
Amazon, but specifically these amazing audiobooks of so many amazing authors. So I listened to a few things. Of course, I listened to Dragonfly and Amber, which we're doing the read-along for now. I listened to, I think, even a little bit of Voyager, just because I could. And I listened to some other books by some other authors. I just had it. See, I have it loaded up no matter where I go. So you can get a free download with a free trial as a listener of the Outlander podcast. Just for you, they are offering this free download and also a free 30-day trial. So,
I mean, I started with a 30-day trial, but I haven't looked back. And I like to keep credits in my pocket at all times. I hoard them. I have 3 right now. I had 6 and then I just bought like
hoards them. She does not
I don't hoard them. I hoard them. But I save them because I know that there are specific books and specific authors that come out, if they're like series and things, that come out in specific intervals in the course of a year
and
or every other year.
And you have to be ready.
And I do have to be ready. So, and I don't always have something new out, and I don't want to just waste my credits, especially when I know that when these new books by my favorite authors come out, that I'm ready for it and I have my credit, that I'm ready to go. So I always hoard at least 2 or 3 because you never know. You might have one of your favorite authors or a handful of your favorite authors all come out with a book in the same month. So you just got to be ready.
Exactly. So to take advantage of this free download or free audiobook from Audible, go to audibletrial.com/outlanderpod. Again, that's audibletrial.com/outlanderpod for your free audiobook.
Go now. We'll wait. And now on to our read-along. This week, we are discussing chapter 31 of Dragonfly and Amber, entitled Mail Call.
Contributor Lisa T. writes, "This chapter is about what home means to both Claire and Jamie. The title, Mail Call, suggests that Claire and Jamie have an actual physical address where they can receive mail. They have a home. Quote, well, it's home, Sassenach. It's my place. He is Laird." So the chapter opens up and they are still at Lallybroch. Jamie and Claire are pulled into the life of Laird and Lady. There's lots of preparation for winter going on. Though they are remote, they are still able to receive post. It takes a little bit of a kind of a horse and buggy to get to them, but they do get it. And among their post is included letters from Paris. Claire finds out that Louise had a healthy son, though there is no mention of others, meaning the father or anyone else. Charles Stewart is, quote, more incoherent than usual, seething with vague plans and grandiosities. The Earl of Mar had a general annoyance with Charles, we find out. He wasn't behaving, it seems. He was rude, overbearing to his most loyal followers, ignored those who might help him, and insulted those he probably shouldn't, and likely drank to excess. Mother Hildegard wrote as well, and ended her notes with, quote, Bouton also sends his regards.
With regard to the Charles statement, I love the fact that Claire says, given the fact that everyone likes to drink to excess, this must have been quite a spectacle for it to have been mentioned in someone's post. So I like to imagine that this was a fantastical, like, drunken outburst on repeated occasions.
Basically, he had to make an impact.
Word, a big one.
Master Raymond didn't write, but, quote, every so often a parcel would come addressed to me, unsigned and unmarked, but containing odd things, rare herbs and small faceted crystals, a collection of stones, each the size of Jamie's thumbnail, smooth and disc-shaped, unquote. End quote.
Mm-mm.
End quote?
Quote, end quote, I think. I have no idea.
End quote. Some of these had a figure carved into a side. There were bones and teeth. Sometimes Claire carried some of the stones in her pocket. Ellen G. writes, Claire would carry the stone around. She enjoyed the physical feeling of them. I wonder if they were affecting her energetically. It sounded like she enjoyed her life on the farm, walking around the estate and visiting the people who lived there, helping them medically if she could.
I love the idea of her carrying around these things that Master Raymond sent to her. He didn't send instructions with any of them, so they could be for anything. So I like the idea of her carrying around things that could have been sent for specific reasons and using them for the wrong reasons. Like, this stone that I sent you is to ward off hemorrhoids, but please carry it in your pocket and shake it around.
Claire enjoyed long walks on the estate to the different cottages, like a traveling healer. Rabbi McNabb was one of the cases she was called to look at. he was having epileptic seizures. She tells Mrs. McNabb, it isn't devils that Rabbi has, but a sickness. Likely, she thinks, from repeated beatings from his father. Claire gives Mrs. McNabb a stone, and she wonders if it's chalcedony.
It's probably the hemorrhoid stone I was
probably
speaking of.
Probably the hemorrhoid stone. With the figure of a writhing man on it. Well, I have never had those,
Me
thank
either,
goodness.
But I imagine but they I imagine would send a person into writhing.
You might writhe. She tells her to sew this stone into Rabbi's pocket to protect him from devils. So apparently she needs to meet them halfway, the locals.
They're not ready for her kind of medicine. They've never been ready for her kind of medicine.
It's not her treatment necessarily. It's her no-nonsense kind of scientific and you're full of like
No,
crap.
it's her understanding of modern medicine, of her modern
her
medicine.
Her knowledge of science.
Which is completely different from their folk remedies and
superstition.
Thank you.
So the stone itself obviously wouldn't physically do anything, but it's the belief in having something or wanting something or needing something that could help the mother help herself. And she remembers from Master Raymond that healing comes from the healed and not the physician. Ellen G. writes, in the Highlands during this period, with superstition running rampant, misunderstandings of medical issues such as these are common. Rabbi's mother was fearful, as she thought, and had been told these fits were from the devil. So Claire coaches Mary on how to react to her son when she sees him beginning to have a seizure. It's basically what we do to this day. There is nothing you can do in the middle of a seizure. As she's leaving, she heard the clicking of the runes in her pocket. She gave one to Mary. She told Mary to sew the rune into Rabbi's pocket so it would always be with him. Claire told her it was a charm to keep the devil away. So Claire, in her own mind, is walking the road between good medicine and practiced charlatanry. So as she's done with her work for the day and making her way back to the manor, we experience what Claire is to do for the rest of the book series, her, quote, turning in. She sits against a beech tree as she has a headache from being inside the crofters' cottages. Now, before I begin this decently sized section, I looked up beech tree.
Of course you did.
So
of course you did.
So I got a few and feel free to pipe up whenever you'd like.
For the listeners, she meant me. I'm feel free to pipe
Which
up.
Are interesting.
You can pipe up all you want, but we won't hear you.
Some listeners have actually written to us and said, I've laughed at you. Hopefully at us if we're funny. I've laughed at you with you. I've kind of yelled at you. I've said, no, that's wrong, or I disagree, or I've cried with you, or whatever. So we know people, at least they've told us they talk back when they listen, so feel free to do so again.
But if you want us to hear, you, we're going to need an email, a text.
Or...
not a text. You don't have my phone number yet. Message me on Twitter. I'll give it to you.
You most certainly will not. No, but you can also call our number at 916-604-4777 and let us hear you. Speaking of that number, do you know how many times I have literally put my cell phone number in those memes that have the downer? Then I go, wait, what's wrong with this?
I mean, if you did have my cell phone and called me, I wouldn't answer. It's kind of my thing. But if you text message me, I'd probably message you back.
Dude, it's her thing because I call her and she doesn't answer.
I don't.
Our parents call her.
I don't.
No, sometimes she does.
The only time I answer is when my parents have my daughter and then I think it might be my daughter. And usually it is. But that's the only time I ever answer my phone.
From gardenguides.com, beech tree symbolism is the genus Phagus or Phagus, and it is derived from a Greek word meaning to eat. And you might recognize the sound of that, if not the spelling, from if you've taken anatomy or even biology or studied histology, the types of cells that encompass others or that eat others, macrophage and for example, a phagocyte, different kinds of cells that includes PHAG. That comes from this same root from Greek, to eat or to consume. It's possibly a reference to the tree's edible fruit. The common name beech is from Teutonic languages and may be derived from a word meaning book. Some sources suggest that ancient runes, which were some of the earliest books, were written on beechwood tablets or slabs. Fagus, or Fagus, may have been an ancient Celtic tree god, significant to Celts in ancient Gaul and the Pyrenees. From the book, The Meaning of Trees, Botany, History, Healing, Love. During the Iron Age, Germanic tribes practiced divination by means of writing runes on wooden sticks or tiny tablets. Although most of the runic talismans that have come down to us today are made from yew wood, various trees were used depending on the local ecology, the preference of the rune reader, and the nature of the questions to be asked. Beechwood was one of them, and parallel to the transition from magical alphabet, which original runes were considered to be, to ordinary alphabet in the 8th century or before, the once sacred symbols became known as letters, from Latin littera. In German, the word for letters is Buchstaben, which translates to beech sticks. Thin tablets of beech were bound together to create an alternative to scrolls and a novel way in which to accumulate and preserve knowledge, the book. Hence, many words for book are derived from the name of the beech. Isn't that kind of cool?
I mean, clearly you thought so. You took all that time.
Oh, I always do. I can't help it. So from ancientwisdom.com, beech is concerned with ancient knowledge as revealed in old objects, places, and writings. Beech indicates guidance from the past to gain insight, which protects and provides a solid base upon which all relies. One more source, but think about not just about the tree and the things that I'm mentioning here, but don't forget these things when we go to talk about what Claire is doing at or on or under the beech tree. And finally, from druidry.org, beech is thought of as the mother of the woods. Beech is also known as the beech queen, whose consort is the oak king. Do you remember from Outlander?
I refuse to go there with you.
Who sat under the oak tree?
Not going there.
Who's...
Dude, trees are your thing.
Yeah, but you listened. Well, no, you're like, you probably didn't.
I was held hostage listening.
So beech is linked with time, wisdom, and knowledge. Meditation with the beech helps us relax and let go of fixed ideas, which hinder us and our development. The tree will help get in touch with our ancestors, their knowledge passed down through time, and the deep wisdom within, which can help us see ways forward for the future. I find that all interesting. So we have the runic, right, which is fortune telling. So you could say telling of the future or not. You have ancestry. You have meditation. So she was trying to clear her mind. She was also meditating in a way. So all of that little background is just very interesting. That again, I don't think Diana does anything on accident. She chose a beech tree on purpose, and it's queen of the beech queen and the oak king. So there you go. We all know Jamie's the oak. So back to the chapter. Claire was attempting to duplicate what Master Raymond had shown her at L'Hôpital des Anges, looking at the organs and systems functioning properly. As Claire is taking a journey through her own body, we are reminded of Diana's expertise in anatomy and physiology, which she taught for years at the university level. It still remains one of my favorite classes, anatomy. So reading this trip through the organ systems of the body is really relaxing for me too, even though obviously I'm not listening to it. Although, actually, I have listened to it. So if I'm listening to Davina read this, I can relax much more than if I'm reading it.
I don't find that remotely relaxing. In fact, I dropped that course when they made me work on bones in the skull, and there were too many of them, and they all look the same. And I said, okay, bye.
Oh, the skull. The cranium is... That was one of the more difficult ones. As far as the... There are a ton, you're right, especially the face, right? The whole thing is a skull. The actual top and back and side, not that big of a deal.
I'm just saying, there's so many
tons
teeny
of
tiny
facial bones.
And after that test, I said, you know what? I'm good.
Oh, that was one of the most, I think it's my favorite unit, the bones. So she's mapping her body, it seems, this turning in. She is remembering how it feels to have a perfectly working body and good health, and she feels peace. Ellen G. writes, She felt the presence of Jamie, even though he was nowhere near her. Now she understood why Raymond would use his name to help heal her. She heads toward home. Then we are reminded that Claire never actually had a home. Her uncle, Quentin Lambert Beecham, had led a vagabond life with his work and studies.
Yeah, but look at all of his titles.
Oh my gosh.
He was an MS, a PhD, and whatever an FRAS is, etc.
Yeah, he's got a lot.
What is an FRAS?
I don't know.
Look it up.
I did not know. I did not.
Fine, I will.
You can do it. So it's interesting that she put up a fight, Claire, as a young girl, and refused. You know what? I'm going to let you look that up because the next thing I'm going to say, I don't want to go away from. Dun, 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 dun.
So there's a couple of options here. There's Fellow of the Royal Art Society of New South Wales. There's Fellow of the Royal Astronomical Society. Fellow of the Royal Agricultural Society. Fellow of the Royal Asiatic Society. And there's always fire retardant antistatic.
I like the last one.
The Asiatic Society?
No, the fire retardant antistatic.
Oh. Or how about frame relay access support? That's from Cisco.
So. You had me by the flame retardant.
All right, flame retardant antistatic it is.
So it's interesting that when Claire is talking about her childhood with her uncle, she says she put up a fight as a young girl and refused to go to the boarding school, and she won. But her words are ominous, I think. Quote, not one to accept the vagaries of fate without a fight. And she didn't accept the vagaries of fate. In Outlander, she spends quite a bit of time trying to get back to Frank. She didn't say she always won. She said she didn't accept fate without a fight. She juxtaposes her previous life of orphanhood and move, 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 constant change, with Jamie's life of family, family home, continuance, and history. His mother, Ellen, had planted the roses by the front door, were as a welcome to her, she says. But then Jamie, too, had had disruption and change, she says. At Lallybroch, quote, permanence was his destiny. She wonders that now that he'd had the experience of Paris and of being at court, etc., could he be satisfied being and staying at Lallybroch? She meets Jamie on her way back to the house, and he mentions that they'll be making a storage shelter or finishing it for the potatoes. Even though it's not Claire's magical healing or turning in ability or Master Raymond's ability, Jamie does have his own talents. He's able to tell that the rain will come by looking at the leaves of a tree. That's some kind of magic there. I mean, it's natural. It's knowledge and patterns and recognition of a place of things that he's seen, as he says, like 10,000 times. Is there anything that you know by the looking of it is going to happen?
Not anymore, but I could tell when my daughter was a baby when she was about to poop her pants. By the look on her face.
Oh, did she like scrunch up her face?
There was a look. Anyway, you can cut that out. In fact, I think you should. So no, I have no skills such as that now.
It turns out he was worried that she'd grow bored staying at the farm as well. Claire tells him, quote, Jamie, I only want to be where you are. Nothing else. In actuality, Jamie was not born to be Laird. His brother Willie was, and he would have been a soldier or a merchant, perhaps, but he ended up with the job. So as they're talking, he takes out Sonny, which of course reminds everyone of, if you've seen the show, of the show, and if not, then of Outlander that you've hopefully read. And he says that he sometimes talks to Willie and asks him questions about, you know, would you have done this? Or is this good? You know, thinking about being Laird and all the responsibility. Claire admits that she talks to her Uncle Lamb and her parents. Jamie says, quote, I think sometimes the dead cherish us as we do them. Jamie then introduces Claire to the spot where he was smacked as a child. And we find out that Ian was often with him, and he was glad when he was. So since Ian made lots of noise when he got whoopings, he didn't feel so ashamed of his own cries. And his father thrashed him in full sight of house and other cottages so they could see their future Laird, that he knew justice, at least from the receiving end.
That's a good friend, by the way.
The receiving end?
No, really.
You didn't pipe up until I said the receiving end. So I'm, a friend who covers your cries?
Yeah, who makes it okay for you to do stuff. Makes you feel like less of a crybaby for doing it first.
Lisa T. writes, home means something different to Claire than it does to Jamie. Claire hasn't really had a home since her parents died. She describes her life as roving. To her, home is a permanent place to heal and find peace. And remember, she had said that she had found some peace there under that beech tree. It is a place where her love and need of Jamie deepen. Her healing powers also continue to grow. The scene with Rabbi McNabb and his mother demonstrates this, as does the following scene where, quote, I leaned my head against the birch's smooth bark and began to breathe slowly and deeply, letting the fresh outdoor air fill my lungs, beginning what I always thought of as turning in. In returning to Lallybroch, Jamie has truly given Claire a permanent home. When Jamie wonders if Claire will grow bored of him and life at Lallybroch, she responds, Jamie, I only want to be where you are, nothing else. Home to Jamie means responsibility, as he is Laird. And Ellen G. writes, this chapter is about communication. Keeping friendships going through letter writing is important, especially at this time, as there are no other ways to communicate long distance to one another. The use of the runes for Claire is a way for her to help the tenants using things in their paradigm instead of using her 20th century vocabulary. Claire also uses the vocabulary everyone else uses, as she gets better used to being there in the 18th century, bringing Jamie up to date on her feelings of belonging in this world. She is getting closer and closer to being fully in the world she finds herself in with him. Even with the differences in ages and times, they still find similarities in the way they were brought up and lived. And she continues to learn of the love Jamie holds for Ian, his best friend. And that is all she wrote. This may indeed be one of our shortest episodes ever.
Terrifyingly true. And that is chapter 31, entitled Mail Call. Join us for our next episode when we will discuss chapter 32, entitled Field of Dreams.
Thank you as always so much for listening. We look forward to our next episode. Thank you to our generous audio host, audioboom.com. Our audioboom channel is www.audioboom.com/channel/outlanderpod. Visit our website at www.outlanderpod.com. Follow us on Twitter at @outlanderpod. Find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/outlanderpod or email us at outlanderpod@gmail.com.